Today we come back to the Gospel of John. We've been away since the end of July for other reasons and places in the Scriptures, but today we come back to our ongoing series in John. And we are in chapter 10 and picking up at verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I find doors fascinating. Some years ago, as I was walking through an ancient city, that fascination grew as I was walking around and realizing that doorways and those doors that were in them were often architecturally significant in the ancient world, and were beautiful in their own way. Sometimes beautiful in their simplicity and utility. Other times in the elaborate concern that was given to them, so that they became the whole focus of the wall around them. I don't think we tend to notice doors. We use them, but we don't notice them. But have you ever considered how very important they are? The first six verses of John 10 that we looked at back in July, Jesus gave, or it contained, a parable, or as the ESV puts it, a figure of speech that Jesus used, where he was talking about sheep and the shepherd and coming into a sheepfold or a place where the sheep could sleep for the night in safety. He talked about all a variety of things. But at the end of that, in verse 6, where we ended previously, it tells us, but they did not understand what he was saying. So now, for a number of verses, he's going to explain that figure of speech to them. And he does it in two parts. He takes two images that are in that figure of speech, or in that parable, and he points to them and says what they mean. One is the door, and that's what we're going to consider today and probably next week, 2 weeks. It's verses 7 to 10. So come back next week to hear the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, if you remember him. And then he talks about a second part of the image that he also describes, and that's in verses 11 and following. And Lord willing, we'll do that in 2 weeks. But I want you to notice here, as we begin our reading today in these verses 7 to 10, it begins, "So Jesus again said," he's explaining now the "so." He's explaining to them what he has just said. So, they didn't understand. So, he said this. He begins to explain the parable. The first part, verses 10, 7 to 10, is what we'll do today. It begins with a claim. That's my first point. If you want to follow along an outline, some of you, that's helpful. It's page 10 in the sermon outline. This whole first section will be this point number one, the claim that Jesus is making. I want to get at that because it's so very important to understand what he's saying to us. The first point is the claim. We find it two times in verse 7 and verse 9, where Jesus says, "Truly, truly," which is an English translation of a Semitic thing that's "amen, amen," which is a solemn vow. It's, in a sense, and some translations do it this way, it's saying, "I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making this up. I'm not lying to you. I'm not telling you something that unimportant. I'm telling you the truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." The claim is made again in verse 9, simply, "I am the door." So I want to do three things under this first point as we try to look at this claim and get at it. So 1A, a door. Why would Jesus call himself a door? A door is a passageway. It's a point of entry, an access point, a way through a wall into a building or into a structure or into a place that is otherwise inaccessible. Yeah, I know there's windows and all that, but for the sake of this illustration, the door is how you get in. It's also the place where you pass out, that it's otherwise inescapable if you're inside. But it's the passageway through. The Greek word here that's used can either describe the whole passageway or the thing that you put in the passageway that we call a door. It can be either or both. It talks about that whole thing. The door itself fits into the doorway to control the flow through the passageway, to allow access or to prevent access so that people or animals or goods can pass between the two sides. A shut door is a way to provide protection to those inside, to limit access. An open door allows movement through the wall, permits interaction between parties on both sides, lets you get into a structure so that you can be engaged with what's inside or come out if you are within. In my walk in that ancient city, there was a door. I have a number of pictures of some of the doors that were memorable to me through that walk some years ago in an old European city. But there was one in particular stands out to me. It was this beautiful wooden doorway and doors that were carved. And above the door was this double-headed eagle. Wings were spread open wide enough to go across both doorways below. Got a picture of it right here. It's hard to see from there. But this beautiful doorway, columns on each side, it's really a focus of the building. And this Test. Thank you, Ephraim. This one's tweaked to my particular voice, so thank you. But I'll use that if I need to. This double-headed eagle, wings spread over this door, beautifully carved. But this door, most of the doors were shut, keeping others, those outside from coming in or to controlling who would come and go. But this one was propped open, markedly just propped open as if to invite you in. So as we're walking around the city, we went in and just walked through the door. And we go in, and there was this beautiful portico, marble columns, and internally this open-air garden. It was gorgeous, all cut in marble. You couldn't see it from outside. We wouldn't have known it was even in there. But the open door let us come in and enjoy and to explore and to see. The door enabled us to come in. Let's do a second thing about this claim of Jesus. Why would he call himself a door? Well, let's recognize point 1B, that the door here is used as a metaphor. Jesus is using the idea of a door to tell us something about himself, right? If he says, I am the door. What's he want us to say? Jesus is saying that he is the access point, the way through the wall of separation between God and ourselves, the wall of separation of our guilt for our own wandering and our own rebellion. But it's the way through that separation wall to God himself, to heaven and earth. Jesus, the point where heaven and earth interact, where heaven and earth meet, if you will, where access can be gained to God. It's a different image, but it's not unlike an image that we find in the Old Testament where Jacob falls asleep He's traveling. He falls asleep. It says he found a rock and he put it down for his pillow, lay down, fell asleep, and he had a dream. It's often called Jacob's dream now. But what happened in this dream? We're told in Genesis 28:12, and he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And it goes on to say that the Lord himself stood at the top of the ladder and spoke to him. And he says, I am going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing to all the families of the earth. And I'm going to send you out, you're going to go out, and I'm going to bring you back to this very place, and I will be with you all the time. It's not a door, but it's a passageway. It's a similar thing, a passageway to heaven. It's where heaven and earth meet. It's where God communicates. And as Jesus talks about that dream earlier in this gospel, he says to Nathanael, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It's not the same image, but it's a similar message that Jesus is significant in our relationship to God. We have a picture, a print of a piece by a Japanese artist. I think you would say his name, Sadao Watanabe. And he was a Japanese artist who illustrated biblical scenes often. And we have over our fireplace this beautiful scene of Jacob asleep at the bottom. And there's a ladder in the background. There's angels come on it. And there's angels all around Jacob ministering to him. And it's a beautiful picture of this. But Jesus says what that is talking about is what his function and role would be is in this connection between heaven and earth, between God and ourselves. And now likewise, this image of the sheepfold, when Jesus says he is the door, one of the things, there's more than one thing that he's saying here, and we're going to look at a different one next week, but we're going to focus on this, a primary thing he's saying here. One of the things he's saying, commentators have noticed at least two things, but today, this focus, is that this figure of speech is announcing that he is the door for the sheep. And here, the sheep mean those who have a relationship with God. His flock, his people, those who would come to God, that he is the door for them, the access point. He is the way in which we can interact with God and find peace with God. He is the way and the place where heaven and earth meet and interact. And it is by him where we find access. Or we find the way shut, withheld from us, all in relation to him. If the sheep are to get inside, they must go through the door. If we're to gain access to God, Jesus is the way through that wall of separation to him. The passageway. He'll say it as clearly as it's possible to say later in the gospel in John 14:6, where he says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's saying all union, all communion, all fellowship, all interaction with God must take place through him. Now, when Jesus calls himself the door and he uses it as a metaphor like this, he's making a very, and here's the last thing, point 1C. You need to see, Jesus is making an emphatic and an exclusive claim about himself. Now, that offends some in his day and it offends some in our day. It's an offensive thing if it's wrong. But he's making an emphatic and an exclusive claim. As Gordon Ramsay, that chef on TV, says about foodie critiques, he says, let's get absolutely clear about this, right? We need to be absolutely clear about what Jesus is saying here. And what he is saying with this figure of speech is emphatic. He doesn't just say that he is a door, one of many doors, a good door. He says, I am the door. Now that comes out even more strongly in the original language, because the Greek language, unlike English, can use a verb. I don't want to get too technical here, but school just started, right? So we can do this. He uses a verb, and the verbs in Greek contain reference to the subject in themselves. They're, you know, they have different forms. So if you want to say, he went, you can just say went in that language. And built into that word went would already include whether it's you went, second person, whether it's I went, first person, whether it's he went or she went. You don't have to say I or she or he or you or they, plural, singular. It's all built into that verbal form. You can use the noun, and you tend to do that if you want to be specific or emphatic. If you want to be specific, if you want to say George went somewhere, you have to say George. If you want to say Sally went somewhere, you have to say Sally. So if you want to be specific, or if you want to be emphatic, she went, not somebody else, she went, you would use the she pronoun. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. He very particularly and pointedly uses the form of I along with the to be verb. You wouldn't need to say I. It just is in the form itself. But he says, I am. He's being emphatic to say, it's me. The door. It becomes one of the what's called the I am statements of Jesus. Do you remember earlier in a different debate, he had said, before Abraham was, I am. And we saw the significance of that reference back to the burning bush, back to saying that he is connected in a unique way to the one who revealed himself in the Old Testament. God revealed himself to them in the Old Testament before Abraham was, pre-existent, I am. But now he's using that same form here to begin to talk about himself and tell us who he is. And he does this throughout John, but this is one of them. I am, what am I? The door. He's being specific and he's being emphatic. The focus is on I am the door. Now let's go back to the think again about, let's go back to, think about it this way. If you're on a city street, walking around a city, maybe like this city, or maybe Philadelphia or New York, you're walking around the city, and you come to this block, and you look down the block, and from this corner the whole way down to the next corner, there's just one building. It spans the whole block. And you need to get inside because you have an appointment with someone who has an office inside, or maybe there's a coffee shop inside you want to step into and relax. You look down and you notice that there's only one door in the whole block. You walk up and down. There's just one point of entry into the building. One place that you can go in. You look, there's only one doorway in. Now, how are you going to get inside that building to meet your appointment or to get that cup of coffee and sit down and take a break? You're going to have to go to that door to go through, because it's the only way in. So you head down the street to make your appointment. You head down to the street to where that door is, and you go in. And Jesus says, I am the door. Now that brings us to point two in the outline. Jesus has made this claim, but now I want you to see this claim is also a warning. A warning. The claim implies a warning to all who would seek God. Again, there's another warning here that we'll deal with next week, but this is the one related to the doorway for us, for the sheep. Jesus is telling us that there is only one way to connect with God that will allow you entrance, that will give you welcome, that will bring you into the Father's home and presence. Only one way that will lead to peace, to spiritual rest, to communion with God, which will allow you entrance through the passageway, through the wall of separation. And that one way is through Jesus Christ alone. So this figure of speech is really calling on us, challenging us, warning us to put our faith in Jesus, to trust Him fully and only in Him. And at the same time, it warns us of the danger of not doing so. The communion meal that we're going to celebrate in just a few minutes is a beautiful picture of why it is that Jesus is the doorway and why He is the only way that we can come to the Father. It's a picture as he ordained it, and as he did it at the beginning, he instituted it when he was just before he died. It's a picture of taking bread and a drink, the wine, which was a meal they were at called the Passover. And he said that it pointed to him, to his body that would soon be broken, his blood that would soon be shed and poured out, that his sacrifice that would soon be made. You say, well, why? Well, it's all about this doorway being opened. That Jesus is the only way to God because He alone, as the perfect Son of God, as another John looked at Him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as this perfect Lamb of God, this perfect body for sacrifice, would be a willing and able to offer His perfect life, His perfect life as a sacrifice of peace for us. That He alone was willing, able and willing to shed His righteous blood, His death, not as a consequence of His own wandering and rebellion as a penalty, but freely offered out of love for us, in order that that wall of separation, that impassable wall, would find a break, a doorway, a passage through. His blood to open the way to God for you. His blood to bring peace with God. He alone, able and willing to admit you to the house and the kingdom of God, were to bar you from it if you reject Him. The open way for you into the embrace of the Father through Him. But to neglect that open door is to give up any hope of entrance, any hope of entrance at all. Those who promote other ways, Jesus is saying here, are false and incorrect, for there is but one door. He calls them thieves and robbers. We'll look again at that. But this week, consider what He's saying to you as the one seeking God. In verse 8, He's saying, don't listen to them. It's again, let's go back to that street where there's this building that has just from corner to corner is one building. And suddenly, as you look again, it seems like there's a lot of doors along the street. First, you thought, no, it was just one. But as you look more carefully, there's lots of doorways you see going down the block. Lots of ways it says, come here and you can come in. But what Jesus is saying here is as you go to them, each one, as you look at them more carefully, what you're going to find is they're not actually doors at all. They're just maybe sculpted things that appear to be doorways against the side of an impenetrable wall. A bas-relief carved into the wall to look like a doorway, to look like a passageway through. In some of them, there might be an alcove cut into the wall that you can actually step inside and get in out of the sun. But they don't go through. You hit the wall at the back. They are not actually passageways. As you go to each one, you might think, I feel like I'm getting ready to go through, to get inside. You start to anticipate it. You start to think, I feel ready. I feel like this is going to get me in. But as you go to step in, you hit the wall. It's not a passageway through. To get in, you must go to the actual door. The one that actually goes through the entire way to the other side. And you have to go there while it's yet open. To refuse to go to that door is to remain outside. And the only way to get to forsake all those other apparent doors and to go to the right, the actual door, and go through. That is the only way to actually find peace with God. Welcome from God by putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone. To go to Him who elsewhere says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Which brings us finally and very quickly, briefly, to point number 3, the promise. We've heard the claim that he's making. We've seen the warning that that is to us. But also, consider just briefly here the promise. Verse 9. If we put it in the order of the original text, by me, if someone should enter, that is, whoever enters by me, what will he find? He shall be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. Now that's a beautiful way that Jesus is saying in a Semitic idiom, going in and out, coming in, being saved, being guarded from my enemies, being welcomed within, being at peace and rest with the residents inside, with heaven itself, with God himself. But the in and out is a picture of all of life. Engaging in all of life. And his beautiful picture, he's saying that if someone who enters by me, by means of me, through faith in me, will find rest for your soul, will find safety from the evil one, will have a life of relationship with God as your provider and your sustainer. Verse 10, he clarifies what this means. I am come that you might have life and have it in abundance or to the full. Through Jesus, peace with God. Through Jesus, and only through him, the full blessing of God now and eternal blessings of God forever. Do you see what he's saying is in Jesus? The ancient psalm of King David is fulfilled. For with Jesus, we can say with him, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now today, as we conclude focusing on this one aspect, let me ask you simply this. Are you entering through the door? Are you entering by Him? Receiving and resting on Him alone for salvation? Have you done that? After hearing His claim, His invitation, His call to you today, will you do that? Will you come to Him today? Will you put your faith in Him? But you say, "Pastor, I've already done that, so what's there for me in this? Is it just something I already know?" But I want you to consider this has something for you today too. Because as it asks you, are you coming through Him, it's asking you also, are you continuing to come to God through Him? Or are you neglecting this doorway, this pathway to your Father? Are you using the open door that is offered to you in Jesus, or are you neglecting that privilege today? Are you resting in Him alone today, trusting Him right now in the particulars of the struggles and the challenges that you face this very week, in this moment of your life, trusting that He will provide for you, that He will lead you, even until He comes to bring you home? No matter what you're facing, is that your active trust in Him today? Going in and out, finding your life under His guidance and care? Or does the doorway remain unused? Known about, but you're trying to make sense of your own life on your own. You're trying to hold on and make it through in your own strength. So, my friend, are you coming, you too? Are you coming to Jesus? And are you going in and out through Him? Father, we thank You for sending our Lord Jesus into the world, a Savior for sinners. As Ephraim earlier said, all that we need to know is know that we need Him and to flee to Him. And so, as we come, we thank You for this provision of salvation and of hope in this world. Lord, we would forsake other ways to try to find meaning in our life or peace in life or sufficiency or ability. We find it in our politics. We try to find it in our health. We try to find it in the good name we have in the community. We try to find it from the respect of our peers. But we would forsake all of that to come to Jesus alone and come to You through Him. Not to make the case for our righteousness, but to know His righteousness and His merit secured an open path to You. And so we come through Him today. Receive us in Him as You have promised, and be our God, and be our keeper, and our provider, and our help. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.